But when the fullness of time had come, God sent forth his Son, born of a woman, born under the law, to redeem those who were under the law, that we might receive the adoption as sons. We're going to talk about that story this morning. If you didn't get an outline in the back, they are in the back, and all the main scriptures are going to be listed in there if you want to go back and refer to that outline. In the fullness of time, God sent forth his Son. In the very beginning of earth history, God made a promise. I will put enmity between you and the woman, between your seed and her seed. He shall bruise your head, and you shall bruise his heel. Genesis 3:15. Now Adam knew Eve, his wife, and she conceived and bore a son named Cain, and said, I have acquired a man from the Lord. But this was not the man. She bore again, this time, his brother Abel. Now Abel was a keeper of sheep, but Cain was a tiller of the ground. And Adam knew his wife again, and she bore a son and named him Seth. For God has appointed another seed for me instead of Abel, whom Cain killed. And as for Seth, to him also a son was born, and his name was Enosh. Then man began to call upon the name of the Lord. God's seed promise, the one who would bruise the serpent's head, was now beginning to work its way into history. Many began to call upon the Lord, but many more refused. Then the Lord saw that the wickedness of man was great on the earth, and that every intent of the thought of the heart was only evil continually. And the Lord was sorry that he made man on the earth, and it was grievous to his heart. So the Lord said, I will destroy man, from whom I have created from the face of the earth, both man and beast, creeping thing, birds of the air, for I am sorry that I have made him. But Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord. Noah and his seed would be saved. They built an ark. And God destroyed all living things which were on the face of the ground, both men and cattle, creeping things and birds of the air. They were destroyed from the earth. Only Noah and those who were with him in the ark remained alive. Then God spoke to Noah and to his sons with him, and said, as for me, behold, I establish my covenant with you and with your seed after you. Now, the whole earth had one language and one speech. And it came to pass, as they journeyed from the east, that they found a plain in the land of Shinar, and they dwelt there. Then they said to one another, come, let us make bricks and bake them thoroughly. They had bricks for stone, and they had asphalt for mortar. And they said, come, let us build ourselves a city, a tower, whose top is in the heavens. Let us make a name for ourselves, lest we be scattered abroad over the face of the whole earth. But the Lord came down to see the city and the tower which the sons of men had built. So the Lord God confused their languages and scattered the people over the face of the earth. Yet regarding the seed promise, God chose one man, Abram. Now the Lord said to Abram, get out of your country, from your family, and from your father's house, to the land that I will show you. I will make you a great nation. I will bless you and make your name great. You shall be a blessing, and I will bless those who bless you, and I will curse him who curses you. And in you all the families of the earth shall be blessed. Neither Abel, nor Seth, nor Noah were the fulfillment of that promise, but they were part of it. as was Abraham's special child of promise, Isaac. Then God said, "No, Sarah, your wife shall bear you a son, and you shall call his name Isaac. And I will establish my covenant with him for an everlasting covenant, and with his seed after him." By faith, Sarah herself also received strength to conceive seed. And she bore a child when she was past the age, because she judged him faithful who had promised. Therefore, from one man, and him as good as dead, were born as many as the stars in the multitude, innumerable as the sand which is by the seashore. These all died in faith, not having received the promises, but having seen them from afar off, were assured of them, embraced them, and confessed them, that they were strangers and pilgrims on the earth. By faith, Abraham, when he was tested, offered up the promised child Isaac, and he who had received the promises offered up his only begotten son, of whom it was said, "In Isaac your seed shall be called," concluding that God was able to raise him up even from the dead, from which he also received him in a figurative sense. You see, God's seed promise kept men of faith looking forward to that promise, to God's kingdom, to the promised Messiah. And it gave them perspective on this earth. They were not of this world. They were looking forward to that promise, to that one who would come. God's people knew this in times of blessing, and they also knew it in some of the most difficult times. God's people were in hard bondage to Pharaoh. So God sent his people a deliverer. Born of a special birth, this time it was Moses. When he became of age, he refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter, choosing rather to suffer affliction with the people of God than to enjoy the passing pleasure of sin, esteeming the reproach of Christ greater riches than the treasuries in Egypt. For he looked forward to the reward. By faith, he forsook Egypt, not fearing the wrath of the king, for he endured as seeing him who is invisible. God sent Moses to deliver his firstborn son. Exodus 4:22. "Then you shall say to Pharaoh, Moses, thus says the Lord, Israel is my firstborn, my son. So I say to you, let my son go that he may serve me. But if you refuse to let him go, indeed, I will kill your son, your firstborn." God delivered his firstborn son, Israel. God's seed promise was now a great nation that he redeemed out of Egypt through the Red Sea. But not all had faith. For who, having heard, having seen, rebelled? Indeed, was it not all who came out of Egypt led by Moses? Now, with whom was he angry with for those 40 years? Was it not those who sinned, whose corpses fell in the wilderness? And to whom did he swear that they would not enter his rest, but to those who did not obey? So we see that they could not enter in because of unbelief. So they all died. For the Lord had said of them, "They shall surely die in the wilderness." So there was not left a man except Caleb, the son of Jephunneh, and Joshua, the son of Nun. My servant Caleb, because he has a different spirit in him, as he follows me fully, I will bring him into the land where he went, and his seed shall inherit it. Joshua brings them into the promised land, and the Lord God gave that generation rest all around, according to all that he had sworn to their fathers, and not a man of all their enemies stood against them. The Lord delivered all their enemies into their hand. Not a word failed. Not one word of God failed of any good thing which the Lord had spoken to all the house of Israel. Everything came to pass. Joshua 21:45. And yet, this is not the end of the story. Hebrews 4:7. Again, he designates a certain day, saying, David, today, after such a long time, as it has been said, today, if you will hear his voice, do not harden your hearts. For if Joshua had given them rest, then he would not afterward have spoken of another day. If Joshua was the fulfillment of that promise, then David wouldn't have said, there's yet another day coming. There's yet a future coming. There's yet a fuller fulfillment of the seed promise. For if Joshua had given them rest, then he would not have afterward have spoken of another day. Hebrews 4:9. There remains therefore a rest for the people of God. There remains therefore now today a rest. Abraham, Moses, Joshua, and David were all great men of faith. They played a pivotal role in the unfolding drama and plan of God's fulfillment of the seed promise, but none of them were the full fulfillment of that promise. They participated in God's unfolding plan, but they did not fulfill it. Now, Hebrews 11:13. All these died in faith. There's a summary of the Old Testament saints. All these died in faith, not having received the promise. They died in faith, looking forward to that promise. Not having received that promise, they all died in faith. But having seen them afar off, they were assured of them, embraced them, and confessed them, that they were strangers and pilgrims in the earth. The promise was made. The promise grew. The promise was expounded upon. The promise was deepened and widened as God gave prophetically his revelation. The kingdom of God expanded as men of faith believed these promises, and they were assured of them, but they did not receive that fulfillment. But, Galatians 4:4, but when the fullness of time had come, God sent forth his Son, born of a woman, born under the law, to redeem those who were under the law, that we might receive the adoption as sons. This is what we celebrate on this Christmas day, O little town of Bethlehem. The hopes and fears of all the years are met in thee tonight. In the fullness of time, God sent forth his Son. Now the birth of Jesus Christ was as follows. After his mother Mary was betrothed to Joseph, before they came together, she was found with child of the Holy Spirit. Then Joseph, her husband, being a just man, not wanting to make her a public example, was minded to put her away secretly. But while he thought about these things, behold, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream, saying, Joseph, son of David, do not be afraid to take to you Mary your wife, for that which is conceived in her is of the Holy Spirit. And she will bring forth a son, and you shall call his name Jesus. For he will save his people from their sins. So all this was done that it might be fulfilled, which was spoken by the Lord through the prophet, saying, Behold, the virgin shall be with child and bear a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel, which is translated God with us. Then Joseph, being aroused from sleep, did as the angel of the Lord commanded him, and took to him his wife. And he did not know her till she had brought forth her firstborn son, and she called his name Jesus. And it came to pass in those days that a decree went out from Caesar Augustus that all the world should be taxed. This census first took place while Cornelius was governing Syria. So all went to be registered, every one to his own city. Joseph went up from Galilee, out of the city of Nazareth, to Judea, to the city of David, which is called Bethlehem, because he was of the house and lineage of David, to be registered with Mary, his betrothed wife, who was with child. So that it was, while they were there, the days were completed for her to be delivered. So she brought forth her firstborn son, and wrapped him in swaddling clothes, and laid him in the manger, because there was no room for them in the inn. Now, there were in the same country shepherds living out in the fields, keeping watch over their flocks by night. And behold, the angel of the Lord stood before them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were greatly afraid. And the angel said to them, Do not be afraid, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which will be to all people. For there is born to you this day in the city of David a Savior, who is Christ the Lord. And this shall be the sign to you. You will find the babe wrapped in swaddling clothes, lying in a manger. And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of the heavenly host, praising God and saying, Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill towards men. So it was, when the angels had gone away from them into heaven, that the shepherds said to one another, Let us now go to Bethlehem and see this thing that has come to pass, which the Lord has made known to us. And they came with haste and found Mary and Joseph and the babe lying in a manger. Now, when they had seen him, they made widely known the saying which was told them concerning this child. And all those who heard it marveled at the things which were told them by the shepherds. But Mary kept all these things and pondered them in her heart. Then the shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all the things that they had heard and seen as it was told them. But when the fullness of time had come, God sent forth his Son, born of a woman, born under the law, to redeem those who were under the law, that we might receive the adoption as sons. This was in God's time. Approximately 6,000 years of earth history went by from that first promise to the fulfillment of that promise. It was done in God's time. It was done in God's way. God sent his Son, his eternal Son, begotten, not created. Jesus Christ is the eternal Son of God who was sent by his eternal Father, true God of true God, divinity from that which is divine. God sent his only, unique, divine Son into this world to be born of a woman. Jesus Christ was the seed promise. He was the full fulfillment of that seed promise, born of a woman. Fully God and fully man. And we beheld his glory, the glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. This word, this eternal word that became flesh. The fulfillment of all of the promises, the fulfillment of all the types and all the shadows of Adam, of Abel, of Seth, of Noah, of Abraham, of Isaac, of Moses, of Joshua, of David. They all participated in this promise, but they did not fulfill it. Jesus did. Jesus fulfilled it. Jesus fulfilled all the types. Jesus fulfills all the shadows. Jesus fulfills the law. Jesus fulfills the sacrificial system. Jesus fulfills the Passover. Jesus fulfills the festivals. Jesus fulfills everything that was written. All these things wrote of me. Jesus Christ fulfilled them all. Born under a woman. Born under the law. He fulfilled all righteousness. He never sinned. He was 100% obedient to the Torah. He did everything God said. It was written in the book of the law to do your will. He did everything the Messiah was commanded to do, was written that he would do. So we do not have a high priest who cannot sympathize with our weaknesses. He understands, but he was in all points tempted, yet without sin. He was in all points tempted as we are. As you are, so was Christ, by the devil himself, yet without sin. And he did this for this purpose, to redeem those who were under the law. The serpent certainly did bruise his heel on the cross, but Jesus crushed his head on the cross. And in the resurrection, Jesus Christ rose from the dead. And Jesus did this for you. But when the fullness of time had come, God sent forth his Son, born of a woman, born under the law, to redeem those who were under the law, that we, the people that sat in darkness, would see a great light, that we might receive the adoption as sons. So that we, by his grace and his grace alone, could be adopted as sons. That we might receive the adoption as sons. For the people who sat in darkness have seen a great light. And upon those who sat in the region of the shadow of death, light has dawned. From that time, Jesus began to preach and say, repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. And the light shines into the darkness, and the darkness does not overpower it. The seed promise has been fulfilled, but the work of God is far from over. God is still calling a people to participate in the unfolding plan of his seed promise. Not to look forward to the coming, as in the Old Testament, but to receive the fulfillment of those promises in the person and in the work of our Lord Jesus Christ, God's only Son. Will you receive him? Will you receive him this Christmas morning? Will you receive God's greatest gift? I don't know about you, but at my house, once those presents are starting to be opened, everybody wants a present. Everybody wants to receive a gift. Nobody wants to be left out. Well, this is a gazillion times more. This is God's greatest gift ever given and ever will be ever given. This is the greatest gift of all times. Will you receive the gift of God's Son so that you can be saved from your sin? Your sin can be washed away. You can be completely forgiven. You can be adopted into God's family. You can be forgiven of your sins, adopted into his family, not by any works that you do, completely by the works of Jesus Christ, by his death, burial, and on the cross, freely given. Will you receive him? Will you believe in him? Will you open the most precious gift ever given? Not under the tree, but on the tree. The tree of Calvary, where Christ died to save you from your sins. John 1:12, but as many as receive him. But as many as receive him. Come! But as many as receive him, to them he gave the right, the exousia, the power, to become children of God. You mean this, yes, this is the greatest gift ever, to become children of God to those who believe on his name. It's simply by faith, simply by believing the message, simply by receiving the gift. You receive the gift by believing the message of the gospel, the good news of Jesus Christ, that the baby born in the manger grew and was the perfect Son of God. Didn't become. He was the perfect Son of God. Receiving that message that he died for your sin, and that he rose again from the dead, that is all that is required. To those who were born, not of blood, it's not by your heritage, it's not by your genealogy, nor the will of flesh, it's not what you will for yourself, not the works that you do, nor of the will of man, but born of God. Have you received him? For those who have received him, go now and tell everyone the good news. Go tell it on the mountain, over the hills and everywhere, far away. Jesus Christ is born, and we know him. Jesus Christ is born, and I'm his son. I've been adopted into his family, and you can be adopted into his family too. Go tell it on the mountain. Go tell everyone the good news that Jesus Christ is born. The miracle of Christmas in the birth of Christ is that God became a man. And the miracle of Christ is that you can be saved and we can become God's son. God's sons. His sons and his daughters. When God wants to change the world, he sends a baby. We see that pattern all throughout the scripture. For you are all sons of God through faith in Christ Jesus. This is your purpose. This is your destiny. Galatians 3:26. There is neither Jew nor Greek. There is neither slave nor free. There is neither male nor female. For you are all one in Christ. And if you are Christ's, then you are Abraham's seed. You are heirs according to the promise. But when the fullness of time had come, God sent forth his Son, born of a woman, born under the law, to redeem those who were under the law, that we might receive the adoption as sons. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for your grace. We thank you for this gift. We thank you for the gift of salvation. Father, I pray if there are some here who do not know you, that you would draw them to yourself. If you're here and you have never received Jesus Christ, will you receive him this Christmas morning? Will you confess your sin? The sin that alienates you from Christ? And will you believe that Jesus died for your sin and rose again from the dead? For it is by grace we are saved through faith, through confession in the heart that works its way to your mouth. And we confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. The Bible says, whoever calls upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. If you do not receive God's gift, then you are in darkness. And God's judgment and wrath is upon you. I pray, Father, that we would all come to the knowledge of Christ in salvation. For those who do know Christ, I would encourage you, exhort you to take this message, take this promise, and build your life on it. Build your life on the Word of God and the testimony of Jesus Christ. To build, cast all your cares upon Him and follow Him and go and share this wonderful message today, this Christmas day, and this upcoming year, to proclaim Christ, His sovereignty, His lordship, and go into all the world and make disciples of all the nations, baptizing and teaching them the wonderful Word of God. To you be all glory. We thank you for gathering us here together this morning. May you receive all the glory, all the honor, and all the praise. We pray this in the mighty name of Jesus. Amen.